All right, well, welcome. I'm so excited to be here. Wasn't planning on preaching today, but it turned out that I got to. And I'm just gonna be sharing a little bit about what kind of some of the things we've been doing this summer with the kids. So just so that you're all aware, I'm a children's pastor, so of course I have my props here. So I like object lessons, so. No, I'm not going to do that, Charlie. All right. So what I've named this is put off to put on. And we all have free choice in our lives. We can choose what foods we like, what we want to eat, what we don't want to eat, the people that we hang around with, whether we like somebody or whether we don't like somebody. We get to make choices every day. But what I want to look at is the greatest choice that we need to make in our life. And that choice is found in Deuteronomy 30:19. And it says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth as a witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just surrender our hearts to you. We ask that you would reveal yourself today to us and let your life come alive inside of us. Have your will and your way here in this place, Holy Spirit. We just pray this in Jesus' name. So there's a choice that God has given us between life and death, blessings and curses. And he will never take that free will away from us. That we can choose. We do get to choose. But now Moses, when he was the one who was speaking this, and this was his last talk to the whole congregation of Israel. Moses was the deliverer that brought all the million people out of Egypt and set them free by the hand of God. And Moses was their leader, and he's now, the Lord already told him, it's time for you to come home. So this is his last talk that he's telling the Israelites. And this is then what he says in verse 15 and 18 to the 18. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. In that I command you that you love the Lord your God and walk in his ways that you may be blessed. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, you will surely perish." So the choice is ours to make. Our choice to follow God or not to obey God. To follow, that choice is a decision each one of us has to make. The Word says that we will see the results of our choice in this life and also in eternity. But today, I don't want to focus on anything but the choosing of life. Choosing to follow Jesus. If you have made that choice to follow Jesus and you say, "I want to follow you and obey you," and you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that makes me so happy. But there's a multiple of places in the Bible that it says, if you choose to obey him, you are choosing life, prosperity, and blessings. And if that is true, why is it that so many Christians are getting beat up and put down? I know it can't be God. We must be missing something. And we know that God doesn't lie. So we know that he says, when he says that you have blessings, life, and prosperity, that's what he is offering us. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's start at the beginning of our life with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 and 17 says, "Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life no longer will live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died for them and raised them up. This is what it means to anyone that belongs to Christ Jesus. They have become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. So when we get born again, it is a spiritual birth, a new life that has happened. And we come alive to God, and we receive this new life, and it's one that is going to go on forever and ever and ever. But there is an old life, our sin nature. And it says that we have to realize and acknowledge that that life has passed away, that we have become a new person, a new life in Christ. So we need to put on, or no, we need to put off the old life and then let go of it. So many times we put it off, but you see my hands are still gripped to it. But God is saying, let go of it and start focusing on this new life that you have. All right, Colossians 3:1 says, you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God and set your mind on things above. It's hard to do that sometimes. God is saying, I want you to be a seeker of me. But you know, we live in a physical world. We have responsibilities and stuff. And sometimes we get so sidetracked with what's going on in this life that we forget to be a seeker of our new life. And that's why sometimes our old nature dominates us. So Colossians 3 through 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, and do not lie to each other, since you have laid aside your old self with its evil practices. So God is saying, don't identify with your old nature as who you are. Let go of that old nature and start seeing it, that's not me. When you step into it, remember, that's not you. You are a new creation. And when you repent and you ask Jesus to forgive you, you're back in your new life. You're getting to walk in it. But we have a choice. Are we going to walk in the old nature because, oh, I did it again? Or are we going to let go of it and start walking in our new life? I know I've told this story before, but it's a good one. Brad and I graduated from Bible school, so everybody always thought, oh, you guys will, your marriage will be just great, okay? So we had a really rough year, and we had one major blowout, and it was actually a really bad one, and he goes to the bathroom then, and I'm just steaming and fuming, and he comes out, and in our bathroom, he would always write little scripture cards, and one of them said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, righteousness means right standing, okay? It means perfect. So he comes out, and he goes, I'm sorry. He goes, but you know what? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm like, no, you're not. And he goes, and these are the words that he said to me that at the time I probably didn't receive it as well, but it was the truth. And when I really meditated on it and got it in my heart, I can say these were probably the most profound words in my whole life. He said, you know what your problem is that you look at your sin as who you are, and it devastates you. And you see the ugliness of it. But he goes, I know I was a sinner, but Jesus gave me a new life, and I'm not going to hang on to my sin as who I am. Amen. He understood that God didn't make him, I guess I was this goody two-shoes, so I always thought God made me a better person. And it's not a better person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have a new life. So when I walked in my old life, I identified with my old life as who I was. And we need to see that we put off our old life. Okay, sorry. Got to get to the right spot here. So when I saw my sin and ugliness, that old life, Jesus says, put it off. Don't hang on to it. Don't accept it. because that's not who you are. So I did repent, had to repent to him, had to repent to God. You know, sometimes you don't have to repent to people, but, you know, a lot of times we do. And get rid of it and receive that new life. That's what God has for us. Colossians 3:10 says, put your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's a process. It's a renewing. You know, it's step by step, putting on that new nature. So, and God, that's what He has for us. God the Father does not want us to be beat down and identifying with our old nature as who we are. He has so much more for us than being trapped in our sin. Especially when Jesus paid such an amazing price to get us untrapped from our sin. Okay? So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 11. And we're going to look at what God gives us, so that we don't need to be miserable, defeated, hurt, and wounded, okay? And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So God isn't saying that life is going to be a bunch of roses. He's not saying that if we choose to follow Him, it's just going to be all blessings and prosperity and stuff like this. He does have that for us, but He said the battle is on. So you need to stand firm, and you need to stand firm in My strength, because you can't do it. But I've already done it. So that's what we can stand firm in. And then He says, put on the full armor of God. Don't put on just a couple pieces. And I think as Christians, that's what we do. We get caught up. I know I do. I was talking to a friend on a weekend away, and I was just saying, I am so excited about the Word of God and that we need to just declare it out and speak it out and stuff like that. And she's like, well, when do you take time to listen to God? I was like, I was better at that before I got all excited about the speaking it out, you know? And it's just like there's the whole armor that He wants us to take hold of. And so He is saying, it's My strength, My might. Then in verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in this heavenly place. Isn't it so easy to look at people as the enemy? That they're the ones that we're battling against. But there is a devil that is scheming and battling. And he wants to knock us down, and he wants to belittle us. He wants to hurt us and lead us into sin. He does not want you to see who God is and all that God has done. And he definitely doesn't want you to see who you are in Christ Jesus. The devil will always try to get you riled, filled with anxiety inside of you. And don't forget the scheme that he always tries to keep us so busy that we forget to seek God and have time for God. Those are the tactics of the devil. And it is so easy to see that the people are the problem, but God is wanting us to see the real root of the problem is not what political party you are a part of, but it is the devil and his wicked forces of evil. Well, there is an answer. God's provision to combat those spiritual battles. That's right. And that we, you know, we face them every day, but God has an answer. And this is what he says, Ephesians 6, 13 to 18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. We're all in the same battle. The devil is hitting all of us with all these different things in our life. But God is giving us a picture that we are going into battle. We need to gear up. He hasn't left us here defenseless. And if we really want to start winning the battle on this earth, and not just wait till I get to heaven, the glory will be good, I'll just endure to the end. You know, that's some people's attitude. But that's not God's. That's not God's provision. And so he's wanting us to take up like a soldier and put on our armor. And I love that he gives us that picture. And I tried to find a picture of the armor, but it was blurry, so Brad wouldn't put it up. But a soldier back in the Roman days, it was pretty impressive. And you looked and you saw that they were really protective, and it was kind of intimidating. Well, God gives us this physical picture to see a spiritual point that he's trying to make in our life. Just like he says, you have a new birth. We know what one birth, our physical birth, is, but now he's saying, you have another birth. You have a new life. So he always gives us these pictures to see. So you guys can kind of picture maybe a battle like when we go through, because I want to look at each piece of armor here today. And I'm just going to do it briefly. Put on the belt of truth around your waist. What's the opposite of truth? A lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man, so he does not lie. Psalms 119:60 says, all your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. As a believer, we need to know first and foremost, God's word is the truth.
Amen.
Truth doesn't change, truth stays. And it's been tested over thousands and thousands of years. This truth has not changed, and it's still changing and transforming lives. All right, so God is not a liar. So he's saying, put on this belt of truth. Now, when I put it around my waist, I'm kind of putting it around my core area. And as a dancer, I never had a really great core, let me tell you. But I've watched ballerinas, I did gymnastics. The people who had a really strong core here, they could do the iron, you know, the rings, and then they'd put their feet up, you know what I mean? The dancers, you can see them do amazing different things because they have a strong core. Even when you go to a nursing home, you'll see all the people who have to take care of the elderly and move them. They wear those big belts to protect their back so that they don't hurt their core, because if that gets hurt, it affects everything in your body. So God is saying, belt this on the foundation, the core of your life. Let this word be the center of your life. It has got to be critical for you to be strong. So the word of God is our friend. The truth of God is something we have to cling to and hang on to, and we got to start knowing it. We got to start to know it. Here are some basic truths you need to remember. God loves you, and he's for you. He created you in his image and his likeness. Jesus saved you and took the penalty and punishment of our sin. And then Jesus forgave you of all your sins, even the sins you're going to do tomorrow. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and to teach you and to be your guide. You are not alone. God is with you. So we have so much truth. And, you know, we're just going over 18 verses pretty much in the Bible. And just look what these 18 verses out of this whole book that God wants to share with us. It's just amazing. So he's saying, put on my truth. Make my word the core of your life. Belt it to you so it can't come off. And you will make be strong, and you will be in my truth. Then he goes on and he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I told you, righteousness is another word for like perfection. It's right standing. Notice the breastplate protects and guards our heart, because in our heart are the issues of life. If I have any truth or any lies that have pierced my heart, they're there inside of me, and I'm holding on to them. They've either wounded me or encouraged me. And God is saying, because of that, you need to give me your heart. I'm going to give you a new heart, all right? We have sinned. We've all sinned, and we can't get rid of it ourselves. So we are all dirty. And I want to show you. This is one of Brad's old work, or actually, he still uses this. Okay, so, but it's dirty. It's filthy. It can be stinky, even after I wash it. Okay, so this is what it looks like when we come to Jesus on our own, trying to get to heaven. It looks like a filthy old rag. That's what our righteousness looks like. But Jesus, his blood, he came, and he not only covers it, but he takes it and says, I remember it no more, and I cover you Amen. In my blood. My blood has made you perfect. This is your new life. You have a new life. Don't be stuck in your old life, okay? In Colossians 2, 14 and 15, it says, let me go back. Okay, Jesus took all of our sins. He went to hell in our place. He took our punishment. But because his perfect blood, it says there has to be the shedding of blood for the cleansing of sin. Well, that's why our sin, our blood wouldn't do it, because we're tainted with a sin nature. So his blood, when he went to hell and took all of our sin on him, when his blood was shed, it was perfect, so Satan couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him, and sin couldn't hold him. And so then he made a public display of the devil. And this is what it is, Colossians 2, 14 to 15. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by the nailing of the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The devil has been defeated. Amen. Sin, sickness, disease, the devil, death. We're free. That's what Jesus did. That's what this new life is. So we see that with this shirt, okay? The devil's been beaten, and we can now start walking in the true life. But we have to keep putting that on. Put on my true nature. Put on my true nature. Get rid of the old. Anytime that old tries to come back, get rid of it and let go, okay? Put off the personal hurts and disappointments of the heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and wipe out the power of sin that lies in who I am. Jesus has given us a new heart and a new life. That's what's really neat. When we were in our first year of marriage, our hearts were broken. Our hearts were wounded. And I can remember Brad saying, let's get on our knees and ask God to give us a new heart. And when we did that, something changed. And I can't even tell you how it worked, but Jesus did it. Because we were saying, we don't want the old marriage. We don't want the old attitudes that we've had. And it wasn't perfect right away, but it got better and better and better until now I look at him as my greatest blessing instead of the enemy. So God is amazing. And his protection continues as we put on our feet the gospel of peace. Everywhere you walk is a mark for good or evil. Think about what Jesus, the walk of Jesus. He brought good news, salvation, healing, doing good, encouraging, taking time for people. Jesus loved the people even that nailed him to the tree. He's watching them nail him, and he's like, oh, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, wow, that kind of love. And I want you to know that's now our nature. How can we walk in that kind of peace? We have to remember that we were created in His image. The new man is in His image and in His likeness. So we can walk like Jesus walked. And that might just start by saying, okay, I'm just going to start smiling at people because I don't want to say hi. Just give them the old smile. Okay? We can walk around and make our world a little bigger than just ourselves. Start thinking about other people. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you love people, to care about others, because that's who you really are. That is your true nature. It just has been buried and suppressed in that old man. But we're letting go of the old and we're taking on the new of who we really are. So Psalms 26:3 says, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I walk in your truth." God's loving kindness is right before us. So He's wanting us to step out and try walking in the gospel of peace. And that just takes time. God wants your steps to matter. And God wants you to walk in the forgiveness and truth that He's given you. But now He's saying, give that to others now. What I've given you, give it to others. So that isn't hard to do if we keep remembering. What do we have? What do we have? Wow, who am I, really? I'm just like Jesus. So take up then your shield of faith. And instead of faith, I brought my umbrella. So I'm going to say, this is my shield of faith, okay? If I know how to work it. There we go. All right, there's my shield of faith. So He's saying, take this up. But faith, what is it? It's having complete confidence in somebody. We can have complete confidence in God. But when we first get saved, if we don't know about God, it's hard to have confidence in Him. And that's why He's saying, get centered in the truth, okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 12:3 says, we have all received a measure of faith. But how do we get more faith? Because we know faith is the one that protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. I'm going to put this down for just a second. So we need to be able to hear the Word of God, and that's going to give us stronger faith muscles. We need to have faith if we really want to battle the devil. So that's what it's going to take. That means we need to have supreme confidence in what God says and what He says He can do. Amen. All right? So I look at this toothbrush, and this toothbrush is something that when your kids are really little, you brush their teeth for them and you show them how to use the toothbrush, don't you? Then as they get a little older, you have to remind them to use the toothbrush because this toothbrush will help your teeth stay clean and healthy, all right? And it is a tool. And faith is a tool. Now, what if I said to my family, hey, I bought us one toothbrush. We all get this one. Nobody is going to want to use the same toothbrush as everybody else, okay? That's gross. I've seen what some of my kids have eaten, and I don't want to use it after them, all right? So, but that's exactly what it is. Faith is not something you can rely on my faith. I can't rely on your faith. You have to pick up the faith yourself. You've got to take it. It has to be your own. People praying for you is a good thing, but you got to start standing up and taking faith and confidence in who God says, what His Word says, and standing on it so that you can fight the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, if it were raining out, and say the rain is the fiery darts of the enemy, and I go, oh man, and I'm holding my shield, and I have a little bit of confidence in God, And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, ooh, well, hey, this side's not getting so wet. What happens when I keep building my faith up and I go like this? It protects me from the fiery darts of rain, doesn't it? It's my protection. God is always wanting to protect us. Now, have the fiery darts stopped coming at me? No. But he says, you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy if you have faith. Put up your shield of faith. And that takes time. We got to start building faith in God. All right? Maybe I'll leave that up and just kind of stick that there too. We'll have all our little things here. All right. So faith in Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We have got to start taking the word and hearing it. Not just me speaking it out to you, but now you need to take the word and you need to speak it out. You need to take hold of it. You need to make it personal. All right? That's why when you read your word, it's not a bad idea to read it out loud. You're hearing it and you're reading it. I know when I take notes at every service, anybody preaching, I'm going to write notes because I can try to hear stuff, but I don't remember it that well. But if I write it down, I have a better chance of remembering what they said. Plus, I can go back and look. But it makes a difference that we can't just hear the word. We got to start personalizing it and speaking the word and making it your own. That's what's going to build your faith, when you take ownership of the word yourself and take hold of it. All right, then. So put God's word on your ears and let it come out your mouth. Helmet of salvation. Aha, I had Jason bring me a helmet, just so you can kind of get an idea. And these are really nice helmets. I don't think the Roman guards had this. They have padding inside. All right? So this helmet is going to protect your ears, your mind, your face. All right? It's going to protect your eyes. It's a solid, heavy-duty helmet. So if I get hit, pretty much I might be a little shaken, but I'm not going to get hurt. All right? So we have this helmet of salvation that God wants to give to us. But he wants us to know, it says salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. Because he knows that what goes in our mind, what we see, what we hear is going to affect us. This is the central headquarters of communication right here, your head. Now, if I were the enemy and I was coming to attack, I would try to take out your communications headquarters. Take out the satellites, take out the cell towers, take out anything that they can communicate and do that kind of stuff. And that's what Satan is wanting to do. He is wanting to take out your mind. You can watch that show. It's okay. So there's a bunch of nudity in it. It's okay. Oh, what are your eyes seeing? What are your ears hearing? Oh, they use the F word in God's name a lot, but that's okay. It's no problem. What are we allowing ourselves to hear? What are we allowing ourselves to see? What is going into our mind? Because our mind helps us make decisions on how we believe, how we act. So we need the helmet of salvation. So let's look at salvation. Because salvation is amazing. We already know that Jesus came and he gave us this new life. So he has forgiven all our sins. And we're going to look at Psalms 103, 2 through 5. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So salvation is like a benefit package to you. Have you ever gotten one of those at work? It's kind of nice. Well, this is God's benefit package to you in salvation. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. That is a great benefit package. So we are thankful for the blood of Jesus that has set us free. Sin doesn't have to. We just need to keep letting go of the sin, letting go of the sin, right? But he heals our bodies. It says, by his stripes in 2 Peter 2:24, we were healed. The stripes that he took when he was whipped 40 times. All those stripes. He was wounded so that we don't have to be. He took every sickness, every disease. This is something I really believe the body of Christ, including me, needs to get a hold of. Look at this. If it's in the Bible, it's the truth. Why do we allow and accept sickness so easily? I don't know. You know, it's not a part of our benefit package. We're not living in what Jesus died to give us. And so we need to start standing on his benefit package. Then you think, oh no, well then how would anybody die and go to heaven? It's okay, because just like Moses, God told him, it's your time to go. Go look at the land, and then I'm bringing you home to me. God can say that. You know, he can take us when we're supposed to go home, not because of sickness. So, and I've got to say, this is a weak area for me. This is an area that I want to start seeing the truth in. Jesus has redeemed us from the pit. Now, when you fall into a pit, it's dark. It's a dark place. It's not a good place. But you know what he said? That Jesus came to pull us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
Jesus is always giving us a hand up and pulling us out. And I really believe that pit is mental and emotional things. So he's taken our spiritual, the sin, then he's taken our physical body, he's healed all our diseases, and then he takes our emotional and mental wellness. And he's already got a plan and a deliverance for that too. With his light, the truth, who he is. He set us free from the pit, so we need to focus on the light. We can't focus on the darkness, because the darkness, have you ever been in a dark room, you hit the light switch on, darkness flees. So we need to let that light in our hearts, in our minds, and just put it in. Jesus took every plot the devil had to hurt us at the cross, and he defeated it completely. And then he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, because he knows we're going to mess up. So he's saying, I just have love, compassion for you, grace by the power of the blood of Jesus. So when you mess up, don't run away from me, run to me. Because that's when I'm going to restore you and make sure you know who you are. Live in your new life. Don't hang in the old life. Don't let shame and guilt pull you back in. So we need to start remembering that we have been saved, what we have been saved from, and put on and start focusing on that and not get distracted by the devil and his plots and plans. Next, we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. And I forgot my sword. I had a cardboard one, so I was going to bring it, which is the Word of God. But I do have the Word of God here. This piece of armor is different from every other piece that there is. And that's because the other ones are all defensive. They're protective. This one is offensive. A sword, it says, will cut. All right? Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive, active, sharper than a double-edged sword, which means it cuts when it goes in and it cuts when it comes back out. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God, the Bible, is truly different from any other book because it's alive.
Amen.
It will perform a work in anyone who believes it.
Thank you.
That's why this book is why he's saying, put it in you. Because not only as you put the Word of God inside of you, it's going to start to perform a work inside of you without you even realizing. You just go on your day, got the Word in you, all of a sudden it's doing something inside of you and it's transforming you. It's setting you free. He did that for me with fear. I used to have to quote the word fear about fear. I'd get scriptures and I spoke them out loud. And then years later, all of a sudden I realized, I don't have to live like this. And he said, I showed you. It was like a root system of fear. And as I kept speaking out the word, speaking out the word, speaking out the word, I started to believe it. And the roots got loosened up. And one day I just said, I don't have to live like this anymore. And I got rid of the spirit of fear.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean fear doesn't try to attack me. I just don't accept it. I see it right away, and I don't accept it. And so that's what we can do, is this word performs a work inside of us. But then it also shows this. Jesus, when he was being baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days to fast. No food. And so he has no food. And at the end of the 40 days, when he is weak, and it says he's hungry, guess who comes along? The devil. And the devil says to him, if you're really the Son of God, then speak to these stones and make them bread. And this is how Jesus responded. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. He spoke the word. The word is your weapon against the attacks of the enemy. Then he said, I will give you this dominion and its glory if you just bow to me and worship me. And Jesus answered again, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and only him. Well, now the devil's getting a little smarter, okay? So then he goes, if you're really the Son of Man, throw yourself down from the top of this temple, because the word says he will give his angels charge over you to protect you. So you see how Satan uses the truth and he can try to get him? And then Jesus answers and said the last time, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And the devil ran away. We don't have to be strong. The word is our strength, because the devil's already been defeated by it. Because it says the word was with God and the word was God. Another reason why this book is different from any other book is it's God himself. He just gave himself a visible something that we can hang on to. This is power. This is God. It's the life. It has power. It's living. And that's why it's so vital that it has defeated the devil. So when we use it, the devil has to flee. All right, so release and activate that powerful word of God inside of you. Let it perform a work in you, but also let it protect you against the devil. The last one, pray at all times and stay alert and pray for all the saints. Prayer is our communication with God. It's casting off all our needs and requesting him to come and intervene. It's realizing that we can't do it ourselves. And you know what it brings you to a place of? Rest. It is so good to not have to be responsible for everything. That's what communicating and praying with. Philippians 4, 7 through 8 says, tell God what you need. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. So we see how powerful that word is. We experience God's peace that we can't even understand, because we can trust him to guard our heart and mind if we give him our problems. As we pray, we need to remember who God is. There is nothing too big or too small that he cares about. He can handle anything. I love our Moms in Prayer group. Moms in Prayer has set up a thing, and the first thing they do is praise before we pray. Because it's saying, I want you to take one attribute of God, one characteristic of God, and I want you to focus on that. And so we do that, and we find scriptures about that one character, like his faithfulness. And then we read the scriptures on it, and then we sing a prayer song. We sing a worship song. Do you know what that does? It magnifies God. It makes him so big that all of a sudden our problem looks so little. Because when I focus on the problem, oh my gosh, it's getting bigger and bigger and I'm thinking on it and I'm worrying about it and oh my goodness, and it gets too big. But when I choose to focus on God, who he is, and I magnify him, God, you got this. You've already taken care of this. And so we need to see that God is so much bigger. And that is just such an exciting thing. When we magnify God, we see hope, love, forgiveness, goodness, peace, life, freedom. It's a place where we can find rest. It puts off the attacks of the enemy, and it puts on the victory of Jesus Christ. Knowing who God is helps us to put on who we really are. Do you know, God does not want his children to pray from a place of defeat. We are not defeated. We are the victors. Right. We have the victory. Jesus already triumphed over the devil,
amen,
over sin, over anything in your life. So we need to pray from a place of victory, not defeat. And that's what we need to do, is we need to tap in. We need to take up and put on the armor of God every day, because we need to make the choice of life, not death. We need to take the choice of blessings, not curses. Our Father wants us to choose life and blessings, and he has made a way for us to be victorious against all the schemes of the devil by tapping into his might and his strength. So I'm just going to break through real close, real fast. Stand up and put on the belt of truth. It's the center of your life. It has to become the center of your life. His truth does. Put on the breastplate of righteousness that makes you brand new. Don't hold on to your sin any longer. Let go. Put on your feet, being ready to share the good news of peace with others, because freely you have been given forgiveness, love, healing. Freely give it out to others. Take up that shield of faith that lifts up the confidence of who God is. And it helps you to declare who God is. And it makes it real in your life. Take up that shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation, which will guard your what you listen to, what you're watching, and what you allow in your mind. Jesus gave us complete salvation for spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional. And he doesn't want us to settle for less. It's there for us. Take up your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that double-edged blade that will transform your life, but it'll also make the devil flee. And then pray at all times. Get personal with God. God is just a whisper away. So magnify him, make him big, and thank him for fighting the evil one for you. Just think what the world would look like if us Christians just started putting our armor on every day. It's something that we're going to have to consciously do. And that's something I've got to say I've been bad at. But as I've been teaching this, I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I have not consciously put you on every day, put all this on. Because he says, put on the full armor. Don't put on just pieces of it. Put on the full armor. So it all starts with choosing Jesus. It all begins there. And I don't know if anybody here just wants to take a moment and say, you know what? I need to choose Jesus. I want life. I don't want death. I want blessings. I don't want curse. I want this new life that's been cleansed and set free from sin and the life that Satan has for me. And if there's anybody here, everybody bow your head, close your eyes. If there is somebody who wants that, and just wants to declare that to be so, just raise your hand.